Welcome to Quest for Gold. We made it. The opening ceremonies of the 2024 Summer Games in Paris are here. I'm Ryan Burrow. Let's get at it. We told you on Tuesday LeBron James will be the male flag bearer for Team USA in the opening ceremony. This week we learned Coco Gauff will be the female flag bearer. This is her first Olympics. U.S. men's soccer fell in pool play to France 3-0. Not a great start to the team's first Olympic appearance since 2008. They'll play New Zealand on Saturday. Meanwhile, the women's national team beat Zambia 3-0 thanks to two goals from Mallory Swanson. They'll play Germany on Sunday. On the women's soccer side, Canada's Olympic Committee announced it has fired head coach Bev Priestman for allegedly using drones to spy on opponents ahead of the Olympics. This week, it was made official. Salt Lake City will host the 2034 Winter Games. It'll be the second time for the Utah City, which last hosted the Olympics in 2002. Sticking with the Winter Olympics, the 2020 U.S. figure skating team will finally get their gold medals at a ceremony on August 7th in Paris. It comes after appeals by Russian authorities were denied, stripping the Russians of the country's gold over positive drug tests by figure skater Kamila Valieva. U.S. women's basketball beat Germany 84-57 in their last warm-up before the games. It's a bounce-back win following their loss to the WNBA All-Stars. Simone Biles is in Paris and ready to flip that 2020 team silver into a 2024 gold. Her husband, Chicago Bear Jonathan Owens, will be leaving his NFL training camp to see his wife in Paris.
They're really cool about it, man. It's a first-class organization. Like, I just want to thank them so much for even allowing me to go over and do that, you know, so I can't wait to, you know, be able to support her. And I know my family, my wife, she really appreciates it.
Ukraine will have 140 athletes competing in the Summer Games in Paris, the fewest the nation has ever entered, due in large part to the difficulties in training following the Russian invasion. France's high-speed rail network was hit Friday with widespread and criminal acts of vandalism, including arson attacks. It's paralyzed travel to Paris from across the rest of France and Europe hours before the grand opening of the Olympics. French officials condemn the attacks as criminal actions, though they say there's no sign of a direct link to the games. Prosecutors in Paris opened a national investigation saying the crimes could carry sentences of 15 to 20 years. It could take through the weekend for rail traffic to continue flowing at its normal rate. It comes after French authorities detained a Russian man who they believe was planning to destabilize the games. We don't know if that man had anything to do with the criminal acts. He was already in custody ahead of this attack. The opening ceremonies begin around 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:30 p.m. Central, but it will be rerun in primetime on NBC. We're expecting performances by Lady Gaga, Celine Dion, and perhaps Ariana Grande. Athletes will be paraded on boats down the Seine River, which, as of now, is safe for swimming. Sports scheduled in the coming days. There is rain in the forecast, and that could change plans for the events. This is our final episode of Quest for Gold this Olympic cycle, and we talk with two-time Olympian Felicia Stancil, a BMX racer from Illinois who set her eyes on getting on the podium in France.
I want to point out that we were going to do an interview yesterday, but what happened?
I got randomly drug tested, so that took a little bit.
When's the last time you had been? I mean, was this kind of a surprise?
They actually test quite often this year. I was tested twice last month and then like two other times this year. So I've been tested quite a bit, but yesterday they had to take blood too. So it was a little adventure.
And were you in the right place at the right time? Did you properly inform them where you were going to be?
Yes, luckily. Sometimes you can forget to update it, but I've been pretty strict on it, and I was happy I was here because this morning I like drove somewhere to pick up a rental car at 7 a.m. and they came at like 15 minutes past 7 the other day. So I would have been like not here if I like if it was the next day. So luckily I was there.
I assume the test went fine. I don't know when do they give results usually? Do they tell you right there?
It takes a couple of weeks, but it will be good.
Okay. All right. Good. I know. Is that something that I don't know? I mean, obviously as we get closer and closer to the games, they're probably going to be doing that more frequently, but I don't know. Is BMX, is that something that gets tested a lot? I mean, compared to other sports?
I think it depends on the like level you're at within the sport. So typically the better you're doing, the more you get tested kind of thing. And for BMX racing, there's only 24 girls and 24 guys that compete for BMX racing in the actual Olympics. So once the final 24 are chosen for both, I think they get tested more and more.
Sure. All right. Makes sense. All right. Well, congratulations. You've qualified for Paris. I want to go back, though, and talk a little bit about Tokyo, if you don't mind. Tell me a little bit about how you handled Tokyo and kind of now, 3 years later, what you think about your performance and kind of your attitude in Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo was the first Olympics I competed in, and I placed fourth place. It was somewhat a tough pill to swallow, only because I felt I could do better. The races that I go and give it my all and I get a second place, I would be happy with the second place because I gave it my all and felt like I did my best. But it was just a lap where I felt I could have gave more when I didn't give like my 100% for that lap. So it was a little hard to like swallow at first. And I definitely have been using that as a motivator going into this next Olympics, being like one place off a podium. So that has definitely been a big motivating factor going into this Olympics. And I think the biggest difference in my mindset from that Olympics to this Olympics is last Olympics, I worked hard and I knew I had to work, like give it my all, but I was kind of just hoping for things to happen that day in my favor. I think this Olympics, I know more about myself as an athlete and I'm trying to like make it happen, if that makes sense, instead of just hoping. I'm definitely like, I really worked hard because the fourth place is still amazing and you definitely have to work really, really hard to get fourth place. But I think I'm just continuing to do the hard work and trying to make it happen with everything I've learned about myself as an athlete and my strengths and my weaknesses. And I've been just trying to better both of those. And
are you talking really more just mentally or physically or both? Maybe
both. Actually, it's definitely both are needed to get a medal in BMX racing, because you could be the fastest person that day, but if you don't like make all the right decisions throughout the day, then you could not even make the final. Like BMX racing is, there's a lot of factors that go into the result. It's not just like track and field where there are like lanes. There's a strategy to BMX. There's obstacles that you have to be comfortable jumping over. Sometimes athletes get injuries because it's such a high like impact sport. So there's just a lot of factors for BMX. So I think the mental side, I've progressed a lot since the last Olympics, and also the physical, because I've got a new coach. I learned a lot from this new coach. So I think I've like progressed and evolved more as an athlete all around since the last Olympics.
So you've definitely strategically, you've kind of gotten yourself in a better place than you were then. I guess I don't want to dwell on it too much, but did was it a matter of just freezing up in the moment? Did the pressure get too much for you? Or maybe your mentality has changed such where you realize now that, you know, it's about process versus results. Maybe it's a combination of all of that.
It's a combination of both. And within the years, I've learned what makes me perform better during that single lap, because BMX racing, there is 2 days of racing and the first day to get to the final lap. So there's 6 qualifying laps to get to the one final. So if everything goes right, I'll be racing 7 laps throughout the 2 days of racing. And the only one that matters out of the entire weekend is the last lap, the very last lap. So I think everything just from physical, mental, I've learned to like have my best lap in the mental and physical for that. Just the only one that counts.
So did it take you, I guess right after Tokyo, did you have to go through a process there? I mean, was it was it a challenge for you to understand kind of what happened and kind of build and learn on that? Or as soon as Tokyo was over, you're like, I got to get back. I got to do this again.
I definitely went straight back into training right away after that. I ended up winning a World Cup, the very first World Cup right after that Olympics, because I was somewhat wanting to like redeem myself after that lap. So the very first World Cup after the Olympics, I won that one. And then the following year, I became the world champion. So I think I used a lot of what I learned and put that energy towards bettering myself as an athlete.
Yeah, it sounds like you didn't get too down on yourself. It sounds like you weren't happy, but on the other hand, it doesn't sound like you're like, I don't know if I like this sport anymore. What's wrong with me? It sounds like you used that instant moment to say, okay, here we go. Let's get down to work now. So very, very cool. How did you get into the sport in the first place?
My dad used to race BMX. So he introduced me to the sport when I was a couple months before my fifth birthday. So it's been a pretty long journey. And I'm lucky to be one of the first athletes in BMX racing that had a parent that raced professionally. You see it in so many other sports like basketball and a lot of other sports that like the parents passed on like a lot of knowledge to their kid. And I was very lucky to have a dad that passed on a lot of knowledge and just a lot of dedication of driving me to every single practice and race during my childhood.
Was there anything that spurred him to think that you would do this?
I think he saw my natural ability early. That's what he said. My mom passed away before I was 4 years old. So it was exactly a year from my mom passing away that my dad like introduced me to BMX, and I didn't really have a mom to tell him like, no, like you can't bring this kid to a BMX track all the time. So I think that was my dad's way of showing love, is just bring me to the track a lot. And I think he saw potential in me at a young age. I just told this story recently, but one of my first memories is riding a two-wheeler with my dad. And I had training wheels on my bike like every other kid. But one day, and I vividly remember it too, I just decided that I didn't want to ride with the training wheels anymore. And me and my dad got in like a little argument before entering the house. Like our house had like a porch on it. And I was really short growing up. I didn't grow to like I'm 5'8 now, but I didn't grow till maybe like middle school. So I was always the shortest growing up. And so maybe my dad just didn't think I was ready because I was really short. But I remember just standing on like the porch and I was like, take off the training wheels. Like I was a little stubborn and I didn't want to go in the house till he took them off. And then he finally agreed. And then we went on the street in front of our house and I was able to ride a two-wheeler my very first attempt without his help at all. So I think that he was very impressed with that. And then he told me the very next week he bought me a BMX bike and we're at the track a week from riding a two-wheeler. So I think it was a little combination of him seeing potential in me and maybe just me believing I could do it.
Has he been with you through this entire journey then?
Yeah, he is a very big factor. He just put a lot of energy in bringing me to practices and races ever since I was a kid. So, and passing on the knowledge. I think I was like every other kid. I loved Disney Channel growing up and I was pretty normal kid, but my dad growing up motivated me in the summer to train a lot. We had this whiteboard and once we got to like 100 sprints on the road, he would take me to the track. But the days that I didn't ride the track, he had these sprint workouts that he knew from his racing from the time when he raced. And when I was a kid, I just wanted to stay inside and watch Disney Channel during the summer, but he's like, no, we need to go outside and do sprints. And so once we got to like 100 sprints, he brought me to the arcade. So I think that helped me have a little motivation growing up. But I think once I turned 14, I started having like the drive within myself. I think that's when I started becoming driven without like my dad telling me to go do sprints every single day or bringing me to the track. And, but yeah, my dad was definitely a big part of me, like training and everything before that self-motivation finally kicked in.
You get to bring him to Paris?
Yeah, my dad and my sister are coming and they're very excited. So it'll be a good time. Last Olympics, there's no fans. So this time, they're very excited to go.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Talk to me a little bit about the sport growing up, though. I mean, it's not, I mean, look, I've got two kids and, you know, soccer and baseball kind of dominate. Volleyball's getting big. Football's obviously big. BMX is not something that a lot of people think about. So obviously you had the connection with your father, but is it a growing sport right now? I know in the last couple decades, X Games has gotten big, but I just don't know kind of that entry point, that entry level, what that situation is right now and how the sport's growing.
Yeah, it is a it's not a mainstream sport in the United States, but it has grown a lot. And there are 8 Olympic tracks in the United States now. So 10 years ago, there were maybe 3 Olympic tracks. And now we have 8 like really amazing facilities throughout the United States. I think those tracks are definitely bringing a lot more people and kids racing the sport in those areas. So I think the facilities are growing and we're seeing more people in the sport, which is amazing. 2008 Olympics was when BMX debuted. And I was 13 watching that Olympic Games in my living room. I remember it very vividly, like seeing my sport in like on TV. And I think that was like where the dream kind of like started. So hopefully we see hopefully the dream kind of becomes a dream for many kids throughout the United States during this Olympics, because I think that's how the dream started within, like, from myself, just seeing the sport on the TV. But yeah, it's definitely not a super mainstream sport, but I think it is growing a lot. And it's really interesting to hear how, like, every athlete got into BMX. A lot of people have had like just a sibling do it, that like on the Olympic level, they had a sibling do it, or like a neighbor saw a flyer and that's how they started. So it's very interesting to hear everyone's stories that like how they got into the sport, because it is more of a unique sport in the United States, but it definitely is growing. And I'm excited to see where it goes after this next Olympics.
And I'm sure, and I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but gold medals probably draw more people to the sport, more interest into the sport, or at least medals in general, some success at the U.S. level. Is Olympics the peak of the sport? Or I mean, you mentioned world championships. I'm sure that there are plenty of other tournaments. This one obviously puts you on a different stage than some of the other tournaments.
Yes. The Olympics is the highest level my sport is held at. So because it's every 4 years, so it is the highest level BMX racing is held at. But we do have BMX World Championships every single year, which is the next biggest event. And that, my very first World Championship was when I was 9 years old. So that's something I've done since I was a little girl. And one very unique thing about BMX racing is all the amateurs for BMX racing compete at the same world championship like track as the pros, which is so different than any other cycling event. No other cycling event like mountain bike, velodrome is like that, but BMX racing, it is. The last 2 days of like the 6-day event of world championships are strictly for the pros, but the first 4 days the amateurs race on the exact same track as the pros do. A different starting hill, but they're on like, they'll have like an amateur starting hill. Then we have the pro Olympic starting hill, but they're right like 20 feet from each other. And then they like combine on the first turn. So we run pretty much the same track as the amateurs. So that's a really unique thing about BMX racing is like the amateurs compete with the pros. But yeah, Olympics is definitely the most important for BMX.
Important. How do you keep it fun for you? I mean, you're an adult now. Obviously, this is something you've done as a child. And that's a big part of it, is trying to keep it fun and not make it a job, right? Do you struggle with that sometimes?
No, not necessarily. I think there are like a lot of supportive people in the United States. And like, you create so many like amazing friendships traveling to all the races. And you get to like travel the world. So there are definitely a lot of fun aspects to BMX racing. I have no complaints. If I wasn't doing this, I would probably be studying or doing a job. I would still be working, but I'm just working towards bike goals. So like, it's definitely enjoyable.
How do you make money then? Is it sponsorship deals?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sponsorship deals. There's several ways to make money throughout the sport. Like racing, you make money. Then there's two different leagues for BMX. There's the International World Cup that are held every single year. So there are like five races for those each year. Then there's a whole USA BMX circuit, which is like a separate point system. That doesn't count towards the Olympics, but there's a circuit in the US that you can make money on too. And then sponsors pay you to like ride their product, and there are other avenues to getting income as well.
You have one bike or multiple bikes?
Multiple bikes.
And does it depend on where you're racing and what the conditions are?
No, I usually don't change many things on my bike at all. I think the only things we really change here and there are the gear on our bike, because it's not like a mountain bike where there's multiple gears. There's only one gear. So depending on the track, sometimes people change the gear and then maybe tire pressure a little, but not necessarily if a track is like a different surface. But most of the tracks nowadays are like all the same surface. I think those are the only two things we adjust here and there, but just... Yeah, I don't change many things on my bike, but I do get like a new bike once or twice a year.
How many bikes are you bringing to Paris?
My race bike, then a backup bike. So I'll have two bikes here.
Okay.
I'm already in France.
Oh, you're already there right now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. So have you been to the venue yet? Have you been able to check it out?
Yes. We've been practicing on the venue for 2.5 weeks now. And the track closes in one day until the Olympics, because it closes exactly like 30 days before the event. But yeah, I've been riding it the past 2.5 weeks, learning this track, because they just changed it for the Olympics a couple months ago. So it's been a really good experience just learning the track and having opportunity to get more and more comfortable on it these past couple weeks.
It's really cool. You're going to be able to see the kind of get the sight lines, understand it. You're going to integrate yourself with where you need to be, how long it takes to move certain distances. Are you staying in dorms? I don't know if the Olympic Village is open yet for athletes.
So our venue is an hour south of, or maybe it's not south or west, but it's an hour away from Paris. So we are not staying in the Olympic Village during the Olympics. We will stay there maybe two nights in the beginning just to get all of our USA stuff for the event. But during the race, we're going to stay at a hotel just to be closer, so we don't have to do that bus ride twice a day, because our racing is at nighttime, is 8 to 10:30. We're competing on 2 days, and both days are 8 to 10:30. So the bus ride back to the Olympic Village past 10:30 would be kind of demanding on the body before eating and getting ready for bed. So we're actually staying in a hotel for the actual race, but the Olympic Village is a really cool experience to see. Yeah. And, I'll be excited to see it we're staying there two nights, I believe.
Much different experience than Tokyo with fans. And just moving around, being able to actually congregate with people. Is that something you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I've been racing BMX since I was 9 years old. So I feel that I somewhat tune out all the fans. And I almost don't notice the crowd at times because I'm so focused on what I need to do in the moment. But it will be a good experience to just have all the energy and like family there, and I think it'll make the event more exciting, like feeding off the energy. But at most times I see myself not even noticing the crowd.
What do you want to do when you're not racing? Are you going to opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies? You said you're not in the Olympic Village, but I don't know if you're planning on seeing any other sports at all.
We are not doing either this time. I think if we asked, we could possibly go, but I think we all agreed as a team that we don't need to do it. It looks like it will be amazing though, because I think it's on boats during the river, which will be amazing, but unfortunately it will be a lot of time standing to get on the boats and outside the room. And we are just cyclists, so our legs are, we're training our legs to go in circles. So just walking for like a long period of time kind of like isn't the best before competing at the biggest event in 4 years. But if it was a closing ceremonies after, if our event was closer towards the end, we would have gone to the closing ceremonies, but unfortunately we are in the beginning, so we can't go to either. But we will be watching on TV. Last Olympics we didn't go to either, but we're just in the village and with the team just watching the opening ceremonies on TV together.
The day when you guys get to pick up all your Team USA gear, that's always seems like it's the most fun from what I can tell from the athletes.
Yeah, USA always has like one of the most like apparel than a lot of other countries I've noticed. We're very lucky to have a lot of like amazing sponsors for our apparel, and we get a lot of it, of just a whole bunch of USA stuff. So we are staying in the Olympic Village for 2 days to like gather all that and do the right sizing for us. But we get a whole lot of stuff compared to the other countries, which is kind of insane. Even like we get Skims clothing, like the girls do, I believe, of just some like sleepwear from Skims, and it's then like Nike, Ralph Lauren. So we get a lot of apparel, all of us.
That's awesome. Did you learn any French? Have you picked up anything since you've been out there?
A little. I'm actually staying in France all the way until the Olympics are done. So I'll be here for another month. The entire U.S. team actually just flew back to the United States, but I changed my plans and I'm going to go ride a track south of France for the next couple weeks before the games. So hopefully I learn a little more, because the French do not know English as much as like some other countries, but I don't know as much French as they know English. So I should probably learn some more French.
Just get the basics down and you'll be fine, I'm sure.
We've been watching some YouTube videos just to like know numbers, and sure, that helps.
Duolingo or Babbel or one of those apps. Maybe try that out for a little bit. Those would be great.
I'm going to be here for another month before the games. I need to learn some more.
Well, good luck to you. Thank you so much for chatting with us. I guess my final question is, I mean, are you going into this race with the mindset of podium or bust, gold or bust, or are you just trying to race the best you can and whatever the results are or whatever the results are?
I definitely want to set myself up to potentially like definitely a medal and race my like the best medal I could possibly get. There are a few things throughout the day. I just have to make the right decisions, and I have won international races before, so winning is definitely a possibility. I don't want to say gold or bust, but I think I definitely am, do want to, like, that is a goal because it is realistic. So I think I just have to give it my all in this next month of training and try my best that day. BMX is, there's so many factors, but I'm excited and I feel that I'm in the best scenario of training and to be the like fastest I can on race day.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm sorry for delaying this.
Oh, no problem. Good luck to you there in France. It's you're going to have a great time and hopefully you have some great races.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Quest for Gold and the 2024 Paris Series. Thank you so much for joining us on this year-long ride. In 52 episodes, we interviewed journalists, Olympic experts, former Olympians, and more than 30 Olympic hopefuls. We came to you live from Munich, Atlanta, New York, and Chicago. The hope is we can be back doing this again ahead of the 2026 Winter Games in Milano Cortina, 560 days away from today. I'm Ryan Burrow. Enjoy the Paris Games. We'll talk to you next year.